Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. This week, the dudes go over the complexity of resentments, specifically one they just resolved between themselves. Hen talks about the FBI knocking on his door and shares a story that reminds us to smell the roses. Cam expounds on some perspective he got from an interaction with a homeless man. Please enjoy Season 2, Episode 8 of the Rude Dude Recovery Pod. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that puts some pep in your step, takes some weight off your plate, and reminds you the haters gonna hate, but you are loved. You are loved by two ex pieces of shit turned alright dudes, two recovering alcoholics, your favorites to be exact, 1A and 1B. We'll let you decide the order. I am Henny Lokes the Lobster, Lobman X, with my partner, Shrimp Daddy Cree, Papa Lynch Cree, the Cree Man Davis. Cameron, how is it just being okay?
Well, dude, after last week's fucking curveball, dude, that's a great way to put it in. Well, you know what, dude? I'm actually, the day started out just okay, but it actually evolved into a good day, dude, because I'm sitting here looking at you. That's a great way to start the show, man. I'm doing great, man. I'm walking around the house. I'm calling everybody I come in contact with reindeer and nipple, because I've been watching that baby reindeer show. Ashley is not a fan of the nickname reindeer or nipple. And I cannot.
You know who else is? Kristen. She's like, no. I did the same thing. Why are we the same person?
Because we are the same. Oh, is that right, baby reindeer?
No. We're not. No. You're not doing that.
Dude, I literally, like, the other night I tried to get some in the sack and I was like, come over here, nipple. And she's like, no, no. Like, we don't like nipple?
Oh. Oh, we're upset, are we, reindeer? Come here and sit on Papa's lap, reindeer.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you what, that show is fucking wild, bro.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you posting about it on Facebook, because I never would have even known, dude. And now I'm watching it before bed. I had a nightmare last night. I don't know if it was correlated, if there was a correlation, but show's wild.
It's cool when that happens and someone shouts out a random show, because there's a million options out there and you never know. And it's cool when somebody's like, this is good, you should watch it. And you're like, oh yeah, that is good.
It reminds me of an actual scenario that, like, my cousin Matthew was in. He lived at this apartment complex called Plaza de Oro, and it was over there, like, behind Garcia's. It was like, it literally looked like the project from fucking Training Day back in there. It's just this hidden ass ghetto apartment complex. But there was this lady who always I swear to God, dude, this was active addiction time too. It was wild. But there was a lady there, and we called her Dog Lady. And dude, she would constantly come and knock on Matt's door and constantly want to, like, talk to him all the time. She was everywhere and nowhere at once, dude. So I sent the show to Matt too. I was like, bro, Dog Lady. It's Dog Lady, bro. She never disappears.
Well, let me hit you with an ultra fun fact in case you don't know. You might, but if you don't know, and if our listeners don't know, that is a true story. And not only is it a true story, the main actor is the guy who wrote it, who it happened to.
Yeah, dude, I did know that.
It's his story. Isn't that wild, dude?
Dude, that's crazy.
Especially if you consider that these are, like, ultra traumatic events, and we'll do this without spoiling, but the story of his life is pretty intense and traumatic. So for you to experience that, write it, act in it, and relive the whole thing is, like, pretty wild. So if you guys are looking for an interesting show that you can binge in probably two nights if you get after it, or one if you're really getting after it, Baby Reindeer.
And I bet you all that trauma kind of goes away after you cash in those Netflix checks as well, Hoss. So he's probably sitting there like, oh, hey, it's all right. This will pay for counseling for life. So yeah, dude, because that's a popular show now, dude. Yeah, go watch it, man.
You heard it here first on Rude Dude Podcast, the show that tells you money won't fill the hole in your heart. That guy got the hole in his heart filled with money.
That's a big old fact, dude.
You know, and I mentioned there's so many options for streaming, and it made me think of this thought that I had the other day, and it was this. There are so many options for podcasts, and if you're choosing to spend your valuable time listening to our little show over the millions of options that there are out there, I just want to say thank you, and we appreciate you. And I forget what it was that reminded me. It was some statistic or something. Yeah, there's thousands, there's 100,000 shows. I was listening to that Grow the Show, and he's like, there's 100,000 shows. So the fact that people would choose to use their time to listen to ours when there are so many great options available really struck a little chord in my heart, you know?
Yeah, dude, you know what? That's some great gratitude. And I second the sentiment, man. If you are sitting here listening to us, thank you very much, man. And especially there's a core group of you guys, because you can see the same numbers pop up, right? Right when we drop. I know that there's these Monday loyals that are waiting for it. And we really couldn't thank you enough, because it is awesome. And, you know, you're sitting here listening to us, and we just sit here and kind of fly off the handle and say stupid shit. But we're trying, and we hope that you continue to listen and be a part of our family, man, because we love you guys very much.
As we continue to grow. And you know what, man? We're on this gratitude kick. So I'm just going to keep rolling with it, because I have another one, which I've been meaning to write down to talk about, and I haven't. Maybe I did. Here comes my dementia. You tell me, but it's worth saying. So I sometimes open the refrigerator after we've gone shopping, and I see this full refrigerator, and I just feel this gratitude, because these are these little things, right? Not everyone opens their fridge to a nice full in a nice house that has electricity and running water and air conditioning and heat and blah, 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 blah. But it's as simple as I open the fridge and see all this food and just go, man, I'm blessed. Man, I'm lucky. This is something worth appreciating, because we can take that for granted, right? Oh, everybody has food. No, everybody doesn't have fucking food in the fridge. Everybody doesn't have a fridge. Everybody doesn't have the electricity on, etc. So I just thought I'd share that, because we talk about gratitude and how it's small. It can start small in the little things and not taking stuff for granted. So that's one thing I'm just like, man, I'm blessed. Look at my fridge.
You know what, man? Amen to that, dude. And another thing that kind of reverberates that we are the same person, dude. I had another one of those kind of come to Jesus moments staring at my fridge. And I did it because I cannot get my daughter to eat dinner at all. Like the kid wants to eat just nothing but ass. And cannot eat. And
oh, that's pause.
Yeah, pause. Okay. Ask foods. Okay. See, and those are the reasons why we have dedicated listeners. All right.
My chair is about to break again.
All right. Listen to me, Nipple. Here we go. So it literally.
Sorry, baby reindeer.
But I had to like have this like, hey, people don't have food. And so what I did, dude, is I like signed up. I was looking up all these like charities, right? And these charities of the sad pictures of the sad children who have no food. And I literally found one where, you know, if you spend $99, you literally can give a family of four a lifetime supply of fresh drinking water. For $100, $2,500 will build them a new house. And I sat here and I hammered it home. I said, look at this sad little girl. And it's this sad, emaciated girl. I felt bad. I'm not making light of it. And she's drinking powdered milk. That and the angels. And I'm like, she's drinking powdered milk, Addison, and you don't want to eat your carrots and your vegetables? I was like, this kid might not even have dinner tonight. And so, yeah, man, the gratitude for having food in the fridge. I mean, Ash and I have to do that sometimes when we stress about money or something like that. I literally have to look around and be like, dude, I am so fortunate, like beyond measure, like way more fortunate than most people. So amen to that, dude. Amen. I love that shit.
And I mean, just the luxury that we have time to sit down and talk about how your mom wants John Travolta's schlong.
I showed her that video, by the way. She laughed her ass off. She's like, you put that on the podcast? I was like, yeah. She's like, that's hilarious. And then like my dad's like, she doesn't want John Travolta. And she goes, I sure as hell do. And then like walked away. it's factual, dude.
Dude, factual. I'm glad that mom was cool with it, because when I heard it, I was like, I don't think I would exactly use that exact terminology speaking about my mom, but like if she's cool with it, you know.
You know what, dude? We like to joke in my family, so she knows I mean it out of like goodwill. You know what I mean?
But we digress back to what we were talking about. Oh, what I was going to say is we became the very things we sought to destroy, which is, remember our parents? There's starving children in Africa, you know, all that. Money doesn't grow on trees. All these things that they said that you're like, shut up. That's so dumb, whatever. And then you're like, oh, yeah. Because we had this with Lyndon, and I remember when I did it with Katie. Just buy it. You could just buy it. Just buy it. And I'm like, no, you can't just buy anything you want, because money is not infinite. It's finite. And you have to work hard to earn it. And you have to go through this whole thing to explain. You don't just like swipe this magical card, even though you kind of do.
Yeah.
That just is magically full of money. It depletes your resources and you have to earn them back. And
yeah, dude.
It's so funny. All the stuff that we hated from our parents, you're like, oh yeah, I get it now.
Yeah, man. It's funny how it all comes back full circle. It also absolutely terrifies me for my teenage children. Because there's always that one saying too, whatever you do to your parents is going to come back to you tenfold. Be like, oh, great, dude. Well,
doubt it.
Yeah. Be like, that's fantastic, dude. That's great, dude. I'll be in the mental hospital and fucking losing my mind, bro. Cause I was a heathen, bro. I couldn't be stopped. But dude, I love the gratitude, man.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you or the listener hears pounding or children laughing, we are having a sleepover. So we had to pivot yesterday. We lost our guest and we both kind of had a tough day. So we pivoted right into a sleepover, which is okay. We will prevail because I don't hate children having fun like my neighbor, which we'll get into later. But the other thing I wanted to say, and I think you and the listeners will be happy to know, we talked about how when we have a guest, I feel funny doing the intro because I feel like I'm pretending to be a podcaster and I feel this like imposter syndrome, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, when I did it, when Jeff was sitting there in the waiting room, it was completely gone. There was no imposter syndrome. There was this feeling, this strong feeling of, I do this. This is me. This is my shit. And this is what I do. I'm not pretending to be a podcaster. I am a fucking podcaster. Let him bask in this majesty of podcasting, because this is what the fuck I do. It was strong, dude. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Dude, way to hype yourself up, dude, because that's the confidence we need. And you know what? I could see it almost leaving you organically, right, dude? Because the last time, I don't know, maybe there was like some sort of trepidation, but then with Jeff, like, dude, the first take didn't come out right. And you just went right into the second one like an absolute boss. Wasn't all like nervous about it or anything. So I could see it. Now that you mentioned it, that makes sense, dude. But yeah, we are fucking podcasters, and these people are lucky to be on our goddamn show. So yeah, dude, flex your shit, bro.
Well, and I think part of it is, you know, we got some sponsorships going on. We got cool guests like Jeff and Paul. Not to say that any of our guests weren't quality, because all our guests have been fucking awesome. But in the department of like strangers that may be well-versed in an interesting topic that don't know us at all, most of our guests previously have been like people we know, but we're starting to get people reaching out to us, which this guy did, interested in our show. And it gave me, you know, this little confidence boost. Oh, this guy found us, likes what we're doing, and asked to be on our show because he's like, yo, your show is cool and I like what you're doing and I want to contribute and get down with what you guys are doing.
Yeah, dude. And I think that's actually the craziest part, is that we get people outside of the immediate circle recognizing the show. And coming around and wanting to be a part of it. And I say that stuff about Jeff, like jokingly, like, hey, he's lucky to be on our show. Jeff was an awesome guest, man. I actually enjoyed
it. That was very interesting.
Yeah, it was a very interesting conversation. And that's the perks of continuing this path on podcasting, because we're going to have more and more conversations like that. So it's cool, man. The fruits of the labor are definitely starting to come into fruition.
And speaking of Jeff, you know, every one of his quotes, they weren't surface level you just get it right away. Or at least for me, this is how I felt. And thinking about it, I'm like, maybe I was trying to be a podcast host, trying to think of my next question, trying to guide, you know, the interview, whatever. So it didn't leave a lot of computing power up here for me to like figure that out as we went. But when he said, if I was never right, then there's no reason to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
So this is a good one for me because you and I, we realize that one of my character defects is I'll be like, hey, Cameron, you did this and I didn't think it was very cool, whatever. And you'll be like, you know what? You're right. I get that. And I'll be like, yeah. And anyway, and also, and da, 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 da. And I think what Jeff's thing meant was if I was wrong and I say I was wrong, you don't need to keep building this case against me. Yeah. I said I was wrong. There's no more reason to discuss. And you do this to me too. You're like, bro, I said I get it. So we can let it go. I'll work on it. I couldn't process that in the moment, but I thought about it and I was like, oh, that's a really good one, actually.
You know what, dude? That is a really good one. And I didn't even remember him saying that. So I'm glad you brought that up. And and he actually he had, like you said, dude, there was that's a great point because the things that he said them in these very kind of like cryptic, unconventional ways, right? Like you really had to decipher it. So that wasn't a one-sided thing where you were sitting there kind of struggling because I was doing the same thing. I'm like, the door means it's the door, but it's not the door. And I was sitting here, I was like, dude, there's some sort of fucking meaning in this, dude. And I got to figure it out because one of us has to talk to him after this. But dude,
yeah,
that's a great point, man. That's a great point. I do it too, dude. I don't do it to you. I do it to everybody else. You know, like where I will repeat, like I have to over accentuate what I'm telling you just so that you get the point. Like I have to hammer it.
Yeah.
It's got to get hammered in, right? So that you understand. And sometimes, dude, if you get that instant conceding and recognition, then yeah, you don't have to go the extra mile. Now, if there's a rebuttal, then yeah, you can go the extra mile for your case. But if it, like you said, if it just gets squashed right away, then yeah, we gotta be mindful of that. And that's something I gotta work on too, bro.
I think it's our conditioning though. Like I know for me, growing up, I was forced to defend myself. It was never good enough. It was always wrong. It always could have been better. So I was, but I did this and I did that. And I realized this, you know, after a while of this program. So the other thing is, I don't think that people expect that. So when you go, hey, you wronged me and I didn't like it. And someone goes, you know what? I did. I'm sorry. You're like, yeah, and you know what? Oh, wait, what'd you say? Yeah. You know, like you're ready. You've got that case built like me, you know. Hey, I'm going to use your bathroom. That's fine. Motherfucker, I buy so much shit. Oh, you said you don't care. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. I'm just going to go use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know?
And you've mentioned this before, dude. I don't know if it's like that anxiety thing or something like that. Like we build up this scenario in our head on how the conversation is going to go. So you can kind of like pre-build it up. Like this motherfucker is going to say this or that person is going to do that. And I'm going to come back right back with this to jam it right up their ass. And when it doesn't go that way.
And it almost never goes that way.
And it never goes that way, dude, right?
It like, never does.
Yeah. Never, dude. Do you know how many times I was ready to climb Mount Mordor to fucking fight all the orcs and arguments that I wasn't ready to have? Like, dude, I'm ready to smoke people. When it's resolved immediately, it's like, oh, dude, well, I was ready to tell you to fucking eat it 12 ways till Sunday. And now I got to just sit here and say, oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. But it is rare, dude. It is rare. That's a healed person thing because conversations and criticism, being able to take that on the chin is a very hard worked skill, right? It took me a long time to be like that. And I'm not the best at it, though, either, dude.
We talked about this, and we were wanting to actually talk about it on the air. So since we're here, I think we'll just do it. You and I have been having our little tiffs off the air, and nothing crazy, but we have these circumstances and these things where we build up these little resentments, and both of us have our own separate ways of handling it that might be a little bit unhealthy. There can be like a little bit of passive aggressiveness and some overreacting. And also, you know what, man, one of the common themes I have with most of my disputes is that intent or tone does not come across in text messages.
Yeah.
And we communicate, you and I, and a lot of people, I communicate with most of the people I talk to 90% through text messages. And it's so easy for it to be like, hey man, I thought on last week's show, but you read it as, hey, you stupid bitch, last week's show was terrible. You know, it's not, it's like this tone. And I had it happen actually with Sutton. Him and I were going back and forth about something, and I was just venting to him about a situation, but he read it as I was yelling at him about it. And I wasn't, I was just like, man, that really like annoyed me. And that, but that's part of the problem is that, like I said, we're always over text, and you can't understand someone's tone and intention there. And we always, going back to the other thing where the anxiety and all that, I always read it as like worst case scenario. They definitely meant it like, hey, motherfucker, you know?
Yep. Yep. Well, dude, I think that's a great point to bring up, because it really is kind of the crux of the problem, right? Tone cannot be conveyed. But there's something to highlight here in regards to us and our little behind the scene things. Those things can be conveyed as a rude conversation or a rude comment, or, you know, this asshole's coming here, or blah, 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 whatever it may be, when you are not resolving things that are bothering you. Right. So if I'm hoarding, which is something that I've talked with Henry about, that I will tend to do, I'm more of a passive type of resentment holder. Right. And I did it when I drank. I would hold on to him, try to drink him away, And then I'd fucking explode like a ticking time bomb. Right. And now I don't like those icky feelings, but I will just kind of be like, oh, OK, hey, that's fine. Hey, everything's good. That thing's bothering me. But you know what? I'm going to push it to the side. And I try not to do that as much as I naturally want to, but sometimes I do. And when I do that, that's when a text message can come across with the, you know, in another scenario that I would take completely, you know, as, oh, okay, hey, dude, that's a great fucking point. Thanks for bringing that up. If I'm harboring little resentments and I'm holding my chestnuts over here, that text message gets conveyed as, hey, dude, like you just said, you're a fucking bitch, dude. You suck ass and I hate you. Quit the pod. And then I am going to then, you know, go, oh, here's my chance. And I'm going to send sly little remarks, or I'm going to do something because I haven't taken care of that resentment. And that's one thing I do love about us, and this goes to everything, is that we can have the conversation, right? Because then all of a sudden it's like this, it's just this icky tension. It's just icky tension. And it highlighted some things that I still need to work on, right? I don't need to be holding on to this shit. And I admire your approach where it's, hey, I got some resentments going on, bud. And we're going to talk about it right now. You know what I mean? Like sometimes, dude, I admire that about you and you in your program, right? Like is that you want to get it taken care of right away. And sometimes I can sheep away from it. And it's something I got to work on.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that came from. It's like part of the way my brain is, my obsessive compulsive kind of, because if something's bothering me, it's fucking hamster wheel in my head. And then I make it worse, you know, this motherfucking, you know, and you know, we sit here with the shitty committee and it's like, nope, he's literally out to ruin me. Like my friend Nash would say, he's trying to ruin me. You know, I get it. I get it. Because that's what happens. And it's like, I either have to say something or I'm going to sit here and lay awake at night thinking about this. Uh-huh. And I've adopted this policy of if I call you my friend, then I owe you the truth.
Yes.
And sometimes the truth is uncomfortable, but the truth is that what's been going on has been bothering me. And I don't need to have this conversation with someone I don't like. This is the distinction for me. If I have this problem with somebody I don't really see often or don't hang out with, I'll just move my space. Like I talk about all the time, I don't associate. But you and I, we're going to be together. We're going to be together for a long time. We're friends and we're going to remain friends. So if we have an issue, I owe it to you to tell you the truth so that you can fix your side of the street and I can fix mine and we can continue forward in this friendship.
Yep. Yep. And that's the healthy way to do it, dude. And that's the healthy way to do it, man. And just, you know, communication is key. And it just goes to show too that even us podcasters, you sit here and laugh like we were in the beginning of the episode, you wouldn't know that Henry and I were hashing out resentments 3 hours before we recorded this fucking episode, right? Three hours, right? And this is how you do it, people. So if you're a newly, freshly sober person, this is how it's done. You have the conversation. You recognize kind of where you were at. And if you don't do this kind of, I'm not saying you have to do it step by step, but like Henry just said, the ramifications of him not mentioning something or me not mentioning something is either he spirals out of control with it and then he holds on to it. Or what happens for me too is if I hold on to it, then I don't bring it up to Henry. What then happens is then I'm now walking around and that reverberates off to the people who I encounter. So I may be a little extra snippy with my kids. I may be a little extra snippy with my wife.
At work.
At work.
With your boss.
My overall outlook on life is impacted because I'm carrying this shitty weight that I need to get rid of. And if we can take care of that right out the gate, then boom, you have the conversation. You say your piece. And what we learn in the program is it's one day at a time. The conversation's done. Love, love, chin, chin. And we move forward amicably. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's why this relationship and this podcast fucking works. And I love you for that, dude. I really do love you for that, dude, because I stand by that, too. If I'm your friend, dude, I owe you the goddamn truth.
I'll be honest. I don't know if the listeners are uncomfortable. I'm even a little uncomfortable right now. It's not fun. But after we finished our conversation, the weight that I felt literally lifted off my shoulders was incredible. And I think another, you know, maybe the last thing to touch on with this is that the reason it works for you and I, the secret sauce of this, because you have to do this in any relationship, is that we own our part. It doesn't look like you, and you did this. It looks like, you know what? You're right. I do that sometimes, and I understand why you felt that. We both mentioned one of our shortcomings, which was mine is like, I'm overly critical, whatever. And yours was, I will just kind of harbor these things and push it under the rug because I don't like talking about it because it's uncomfortable. It wasn't just you're bad at this and you're bad at this. And you know, it was,
yep.
I understand I'm not good at that and I will work on that and you can work on this. And I understand I'm not good at that and I'll work on that if you work on this. And it's a give take. It's a compromise.
Hey, dude. And I think that's the most beautiful shit in the world, right? Like that is fellowshipping right there, bro. Like that is what you just explained is recovery, folks. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's not about substances. It's not about anything. It's about dealing with shit like this and not using over it. Right. It's like,
this is our last episode. We've cracked the code. Good luck. You're on your own.
La la la. Peace out. But yeah, but dude, no, it's a beautiful thing, and you know what? I'm not even uncomfortable about it because it is such a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing, and I'm glad that we're able to sit here and share it. And hopefully, the message is coming across because you know, even from the outside looking in, you would think that hey, these guys are fucking tits on a chest. Like, hey, dude, no, we have arguments, we have problems. You know what I mean? We do, and we're trying to grow the show and. We have life things going on and it's easy to get mad at each other. And everybody who's married or in a relationship knows how that goes. I'm married to Henry as well as my wife, you know, rude exactly. Dude, is, you know what I mean? So like that's really how this goes.
And that's where this like self-awareness piece comes in because you say this thing to me today and I'm like, oh fuck. Kristen says the same thing. And I will remind you of what our friend Cat Williams said. If somebody say you smoking crack for 20 years, motherfucker, you are smoking crack. Okay. When people, it's so funny. Oh yeah. He did this. They did that. They did that. And they did that. And fuck all of them. I don't talk to any of them anymore. And my first immediate spidey sense is like, if everyone else is the problem, you might be the fucking problem.
Exactly.
So like when you say, man, you're awful critical. Well, that's Kristen's complaint with me too. And guess who the fuck was like that? Like I said, my dad. So, hey, here's my piece. I know I do that. And some of it may be too much. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's too much. That's what I need to work on. Yep. I can be self-aware and say, you know, he's probably not. If Kristen feels the same way, then they're probably fucking on to something. That's probably something I need to work on. And that's recovery.
That is recovery, dude. That is recovery. And it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful because, yeah, if somebody doesn't tell us and those are your friends and your lover and your future wife who owe you the truth to tell you the truth.
Yep.
Just like you telling me the truth. Everything you told me earlier today was a fucking straight up fact. As a straight up.
And that's the thing with telling your friend the truth. How can they fix it, or your partner? How can they fix it if they don't know?
Exactly.
That's actually how my last relationship ended. Yeah. She was like, actually, I've been unhappy for a year and this is why. And I'm like, Why didn't you tell? Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, I could have possibly changed.
If someone doesn't know, they can't fix it. And I'm not going to pretend like, you know, I was perfect and I didn't know at all, but I really had no idea to what extent.
Yeah.
And so I just think that's such a, it's such a good lesson to be like, you should give someone the opportunity to change before you just do what Cameron, you said your problem is, and just bottle it in and never say anything until it's too late. And then it's fucking too late, you know?
Yeah. Cause then, yeah, you wouldn't know. So it really just comes down to communicating. It just comes down to communicating. And I think what I'm going to propose on the pod live and direct, when we have any of these, I think we should do it over voice text or a phone call.
Yep.
I think that needs to be the best thing because everything can be misconstrued. I get pissed off at people at work by the way that they type thank you in a fucking email. Yeah. If anything, if it's going to be like that, I think that's the best path moving forward.
Kristen did mention you should talk to him before the podcast because we get on video and we have our little chats and that's probably the best time. And speaking of which, I'm also not complaining about that relationship ending because I'm about to marry my queen in Greece next month. Hey yo,
let's go, dude. Shrimps and fucking
dunga, 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 dunga. I don't know what Greek music sounds like. Dunga, dunga, dunga.
No, that's it. That's India, bro.
And we're canceled.
There we go.
Opa.
Opa, there you go.
Opa. Boom, dun, boom, dun, boom, dun. Okay, that's Mexican.
Dude, I bet you they have shit like that. Sounds good, dude. Goats and juice in the background.
A couple of episodes, and I feel like an idiot. A couple episodes back, we just grazed over this school shooter.
Choose the insurance lab.
Are you tired of cookie-cutter insurance plans that don't truly cater to your needs? The Insurance Lab is revolutionizing the insurance industry with personalized plans tailored just for you and your business. With 15 years of experience in the insurance business, including 10 years in commercial, their founder and friend of the dudes, Joey Hensler, knows all the ins and outs of the industry. Frustrated by the lack of individualized care at larger companies, he decided to start his own business. Whether you're in need of home, auto, or commercial insurance, he's got you covered. From machine shops to salons and even cannabis dispensaries, they specialize in insuring businesses of all kinds. At the Insurance Lab, you're more than just a policy number. You're a valued client. Need to speak with the owner? He's just a phone call away, ready to address any questions or concerns you may have. So if you're ready to experience the difference that personalized insurance can make, get in touch with him today at 916-957-1933 or visit the show notes for links. And let the Insurance Lab give you a free customized quote today. And I felt like an idiot because to the listener, it probably sounded like, wait, how the fuck does Henry not remember that there was a school shooter? Wouldn't you think you would remember that? Well, I certainly do. And the confusion was that I thought he was talking about a teacher at our high school, and then he said school shooting, which happened at our middle school. And so I was all twisted up and confused. So there wasn't actually a shooting, but someone did bring a gun to school. And I was like, I can't believe we let that story go by. And I didn't mention that the FBI came to my house in eighth grade and told me that I was on the hit list that they found in this person's bedroom.
Ooh, dude. What? Okay, so see, I think I knew that information, but I must have smoked or drank it away. Dude.
Did you not remember that?
I totally forgot about that, dude. What was that like?
So, well.
I mean, seriously, like you had FBI man at your door? They didn't suit
two FBI agents sat with me and my mom and or dad around our dinner table and questioned me about because I was on a hit list. Do you have a fresh tattoo?
I do. Yeah. I got these.
Is that what you're playing with? Yeah. Nice.
It's all wet.
You're over here frisking.
Yeah, dude. I got to rub in my Aquaphor. I'm all lubed up over here, dude.
My shiny lips.
Dude, your serum. I can hear him crying for it. Henry, go get the.
They are. We're so dry, Papa. So the FBI interviewing me. And the funny thing was, I was a basketball player and the kid was a wrestler. And for some reason, there was mad beef between basketball players and wrestlers. Wrestlers were like, you guys are gay. You play with balls. And I was like, you roll around on a sweaty mat grabbing dudes' balls. So what are you talking about? And that was actually like the altercation that landed me on said hit list, I guess. So I just thought that was worth mentioning because, no, I did not forget that there was a school shooter because he, you know, if he was going to do something, you know, I was part of his list.
It was wild to me, dude.
That was wild. And you know what else happened that year?
What did?
9/11.
Yes, 9/11 happened that year.
What a fucking year, bud.
Yeah, dude. 2001 was a whopper, dude. That was actually part another one of these years where Cameron's anxiety disorder really took a pretty big jump. I was always a little jumpy kind of kid, right? And then all of a sudden, airplanes flying into buildings and kids bringing guns to school just really kind of shattered my safety net of life, dude. So, that was a terrible time, dude. Terrible time.
And that, in a nutshell, is why millennials are often having a rough time, because it started in eighth grade and it just didn't stop. But it was brought to my attention by my esteemed co-host that person is now out of jail. I think they went to jail till they were 18, and they possibly may be clean. They possibly may even listen to this show. Correct. And or their brother. So if you do, first of all, I'd like to say I hold no resentments, and I am proud of you for getting clean. I understand that we all go through our shit. And if you are clean now, I'm very proud of you and I love you and keep going.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. And you know what, man? I mean, long story short, he didn't end up, you know, doing anything, right? He didn't hurt anybody.
I mean, we're fucking 12 years old, 11, yeah, whatever, yeah. Do stupid shit.
And so yeah, he served his time. He got out and he's living a fruitful life. And yeah, last time I saw anything, I know he's one of us, been sober for a while. And yeah, I might listen to the show like Henry just said. I just repeated every single thing that Henry just said. But yes. So if you're listening, we do love you, man. And we are proud of you for turning your life around, because that's what this show's about, bro.
If you want to pay me back for writing me on your hit list, tell a friend about the show. How about that?
Listen to every episode.
Hey, this dude I wanted to murder in eighth grade fucking has this sick ass podcast, dude. Murder is funny. Speaking of funny, but seriously, no resentments, all good, love you, man. I went to a show, a comedy show, a couple weeks back. Oh yeah, here she is, Cristela Alonso. She's pretty funny. She has a special on Netflix, and she shared this incredible message of recovery, although she's not in recovery. And she didn't claim it as a message of recovery, but that's what it was. So her family's from Mexico. They immigrated here, grew up, you know, pretty poor, whatever. And she got some money, Netflix money. And she started taking her family on vacations. She said, you know, we're Mexicans. We just work. And we work and we work, and that's all we know. And so finally I was like, we're going on vacation. I'll take you guys wherever. There was two awesome messages. There was one, her mom always would see the movie theater and go, we should go there to a movie one day. I'm not going to do the accent. Is that racist? Are you allowed to? I don't know. We should go see a movie one day. And she goes, okay, mom. And on Friday, when she would have her day off, they'd be like, mom, let's go to the movie. She'd go, no, that's not next week. And long story short, her mom went her whole life and never went and saw a movie.
What?
And she's like, I realized that my mom thought she didn't deserve it, that she hadn't worked hard enough, that she didn't deserve it. And so her message was, go see the fucking movie. Mm-hmm. Treat yourself. And then her other message was, we were in Pittsburgh, and she's like, she talked about these trips and she set it all up with Hawaii, and that no one ever made a big deal out of it or thanked her or said Hawaii was incredible. But her brothers were big Steelers fans, and they found out she was going to Pittsburgh, and they were so excited to go to Pittsburgh, and they were thrilled and jumping up and down, and it was, and they loved it, and they told her, this is the best place we've ever gone. She's like, you've been to fucking Hawaii? This is Pittsburgh is the best. But her point was, you guys live here and other people think this is the coolest place that they've ever been. And I love the message of the grass is greener thing, and how we oh, over there is cool, but this isn't cool and whatever. It's almost the same thing with the full refrigerator. You might take that for granted, but to somebody, that full refrigerator might be the only thing they've ever prayed for, mm-hmm. you know? So it's this reminder of like, one, do the fun thing, take care of yourself, give yourself a break, give yourself the fun thing. And two, this thing you're taking for granted, someone else thinks is the coolest fucking thing ever.
Dude, that's fucking, that's pretty hard hitting. And it actually makes me pretty sad for the mom, right?
Yeah.
She ended up just never treating herself. And I think some of that older generation kind of operated that way, where it's just work and I'll have fun when I'm dead or something like that. I don't know the mindset behind that. But yeah, dude, that's a great point, man. You know, everybody has their own idea of what's rad, and let them experience that too. So don't poo-poo it, right? Like, and you know, hey, you went to Hawaii, but you think Pittsburgh's cool. I've never been to Pittsburgh, but I'd like to imagine that Hawaii and Pittsburgh are on the opposite side of the spectrum of awesomeness. You know, you know what I mean? Like those two things aren't the same. But to those two guys who are Steelers fans, it all adds up because they're Steelers fans. But I mean, you know, there they are. They're having the time of their life, and that's their God-given right to enjoy that. So yeah, go have fun, man. Go live your life, dude, because every day I wake up in the morning, it seems like it's going by quicker. So yeah, mm-hmm. Amen to that, dude. That's a great point.
I was sitting there, you know that meme where the dude's like sitting in the corner of the party and is like, they don't know how much I can bench press. I feel like or like, they don't know that I'm a certified forklift driver.
Oh,
you know, whatever. Like, I felt like the guy in the corner that was like, they don't know how fucking fire and how healed this metaphor is that she's dropping on us right now. Not that they didn't. I don't know. It was just so cool to see, because she's a comedian. She's there to make us laugh and, you know, shut up and dribble. But she had this amazing message, and I just thought it was so cool.
Yeah, dude. And I like to believe that with that type of interpretation and the delivery that you just kind of tried to reinterpret, I think, you know, she knew what she was saying. She knew what she was saying.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't want people to live their lives and die like her mom did. And so that was her way of telling people to go out, have fun, come watch her at a comedy show, go to Pittsburgh and admire, you know, whatever there is to admire there. Things like that. So
no, that sounded a little self-righteous, and I didn't mean it like that. It just meant like,
no, I got what you were saying, right? Like, because she's a comedian, yeah. Right? And then that is a very open-minded, positive recovery type of mindset, right? And to preach that,
a lot of awareness.
A lot of people don't do that, and her mom was a prime example of it. They walk down head in the sand or just grinding their lives to death, and you didn't even go to the damn movies. I mean that's a tragedy,
dude. I've been looking at this stress chicken on the notes all week long.
So, dude, I do these things on purpose, a little insider thing.
Oh,
so if I ever write anything in the notes on it, something I want to bring up, I make sure it's nice and cryptic and enticing for my boy here. And it sounds like the mission was, in fact, accomplished.
I'm chomping at the bit, pal.
Dude, you know what sucks ass is that it's never as good as I think it's going to be. So, dude, I just wanted to ask you if... And maybe our listeners, you can respond or message us on the voice message or send us a message on Threads or Instagram or anywhere. Does anybody else hyper stress the fuck out when you're cooking chicken because you don't want it to be pink and get fucking salmonella? Because I end up overcooking that shit, dude, till like raw. I literally had little pre-cut sliced chicken fillets, dude. I'm talking like this, dude. And I cooked those fucking things about as fucking dry as a goddamn tire last night, dude. Like Graham's over there trying to eat the little chicken, the chicken I cooked him, dude. He's like eating sand, dude. And I just feel so bad.
Jerky.
Yeah, dude. It's just chicken jerky, dude. I don't know what it is with me.
It's
and
a
cooking
thing.
Chicken. Dude, I cannot do it. Like a fat chicken breast, I don't care if I have a thermometer. I don't believe the thermometer. It's somehow going to be pink, dude. The lighting in my kitchen isn't going to show me the pink, and we're all going to die. And dude, I swear to God, man, I was stressing last night.
I think it's one of those like widespread wives' tales, and it's not necessarily a wives' tale because I think it's true, but it's one of those things of like, you will fucking die. You cannot have undercooked chicken. You will fucking die. It's beat into our heads our whole life. So, and the reason I was laughing is because like I'm the same way. What I do is I usually like if it's thick, I cut it open. At least I cut one open and look at it. But yeah, it's like you're deathly afraid. And it's one of those things. You know what got me? Here's another one. the salmonella with raw eggs, but they just sell cookie dough that you're allowed to eat. And I've eaten cookie dough my whole life and it's never, and bodybuilders literally just drink eggs. I've done it before. So there was this like, you'll fucking die from salmonella. And it's like not a thing because you can literally just drink raw eggs.
Dude, you've smashed raw eggs.
I have. Dude.
Dude, look at this guy, dude. You're fucking
have
guy.
You seen my biceps? Dude, no, like, yeah, I have.
Dude, are you doing it on the ring? Dude, have you done it on the ring?
No, I don't. I just had, there was a moment in my life, it was probably influenced by someone, where I was just like, yeah, I'm tough alpha male, I'll drink eggs.
Oh, God, you know? Dude. I can, like, feel the texture, like, in my throat right now, and it makes me want to gag, bro. Like either that or, like, a raw oyster. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Speaking of which, here's a fun one for you and the listeners. I heard this, and I believe that it's 1,000% true. Look at anything. Look at anything at all right now, and your tongue can know the texture of how that would feel to touch it.
You know what?
That's exactly.
That's actually really true.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I'm looking at this stuff. My tongue knows exactly how it would feel to touch any of this stuff.
Yeah, dude. I'm looking.
Isn't that weird?
I'm looking at Rudy's bed, and I'm like, "Yeah, that's gonna be fuzzy." And then I'm looking at my door.
Looking at Rudy's booty,
dude. At the rate that I'm getting pink eye, dude, that would solve all the fucking mysteries around here.
Nailed it.
Mystery solved, dude. Mystery solved. Yeah, I'm over here looking at my door handle. I know exactly how that would feel too. Yeah, that is wild, dude. That's true.
Isn't the TV? Weird?
Yeah, I could.
Oh my God.
Dude, now I got to start licking shit. Fantastic.
All right. So, we got to touch back.
I'm not
back,
the only loon. I'm not the only loon. You stress about chicken too.
Not at all.
You stress on pork chops too because
Kristen does too. No, because pork chops can have a little pink.
That's true. I still stress on that.
A little pink in the pork.
But dude, like, I can fucking, dude, I want my steak, like, literally coming straight off the cow.
Yeah.
I want it literally bleeding. I don't know, man.
Dude, there's nothing worse when you buy, like, some nice steaks and then you overcook them. It makes me so mad.
There's nothing worse on this planet, dude, than a well-done steak. You can't possibly have it. I can't possibly.
And if you like your steak well done, stop listening to this podcast, rate us 1 star, and fuck right off.
Yes, and leave us a scathing review, dude. We do not want you around here.
Maybe not the review, but you can stop listening.
Yeah, scratch that part.
Just kidding, we love you. All right, so I have to say, I'm going to gloat a little bit. I fucking called this, okay? I introduced you and some of our listeners to the Drake and Kendrick and J. Cole beef.
Yeah.
And I talked about how J. Cole backed out. I talked about how cool I thought it was because he's healed and he doesn't have time for this drama. Well, we're a few weeks down the road, and it turns out that J. Cole fucking won. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why. Because Drake is being slandered into the Netherlands. He has basically been labeled a pedophile, and everyone is turning against him. And J. Cole is somewhere on a beach chilling with his toes in the sand, like, damn, I made the right decision because Drake's career could be ending.
Dude, I'll
probably won't, but it's bad.
But it's real bad. And I first and foremost, I want to say thank you for involving me. I think I probably would have figured it out, but thank you because, dude, I am entrenched.
Obsessed.
Dude, I've been listening to Not Like Us like every day. I listen to it in the morning.
Oh, it's a fucking bop.
I'm literally just listening to it all the time. And Drake got absolutely destroyed, bro. Like, absolutely destroyed. And some of these memes, man, like, that's one of the benefits of the internet, bro. The ones delicious. You're sending me are hilarious. Like the slave driver one, dude. Like I was sitting there. Oh, he's got a whip in his hand. And Drake's on the ground. Oh my God, dude. But
how about the one where it said J. Cole's playing checkers, Kendrick's playing chess, and Drake is playing Minecraft because he likes miners.
Dude, but there's and we don't got to like go like super in depth into this, but I didn't know the full extent of it. And after seeing like some more of this like research on it, dude's a creep, bro. Dude's a straight up grooming young girls. Like, why are we following
13-year-old Millie Bobby Brown
watching girls high school basketball? Like, why? What are you doing there? What are you doing,
dude? When
and following them.
When that girl said he's a huge fan of girls' high school basketball.
Well, you don't say. What? Yeah, dude. No.
A 28-year-old stranger is a you follow it like they keep the stats on ESPN.
Yeah,
get
yeah.
the fuck out of here.
No, dude. Like, he's sitting there hovering, waiting for you to turn 18.
The comment that he put on Billie Eilish, yeah. she said 18 tomorrow. He said, I've been waiting.
Yeah, dude. Dude's a fucking creep, dude. I hope he falls from the Netherlands, dude. Because, yeah, he's been getting destroyed, dude. And I think people will catch on to it. Kendrick absolutely destroyed him. And back to what your main point was, this is a great lesson of taking the high road, recognizing when you are doing something out of character, and stepping away from it, admitting you're wrong,
removing
right away
from the bullshit.
And removing yourself from it, or as my wonderful co-host likes to say, moving your space. Hey, I'm done with this and I am going to move my space. And dude, he is living the dream right now, because the way Kendrick did Drake, I don't know if he would have been able to do J. Cole that hard, but who knows.
Well, and Kendrick did something really smart. His first, that Euphoria, the beat wasn't exciting or fun or popping or club, whatever. And Drake makes like club bangers, like back to back, people bump that. Like it's a good song. Well, Kendrick said, fine. You didn't like my beat? You didn't like my slow? As soon as I heard that mustard on the beat, ho, I was like, uh-oh. Oh, God.
Yep.
It's over for this man. Mustard's involved. And it's a fucking bop. And he's got the little chant at the end. Oh, V-ho. Oh, V-ho.
Oh, V-ho.
It was so smart, because that's what people like. They don't want just, okay, your lyrics make sense. They want a vibe. And he's like, fine, you guys want a stupid ass song to vibe to? I'll give you a banger.
And I'll absolutely murder him while you're vibing. But yeah, dude, J. Cole won, dude. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Okay, dude, I want to talk about something really kind of cool that happened to me the other day. So I think it was like two episodes back where I talked about how I can get a little angry about the vagrant situation around here. I've been actively trying to change my views on this, right? Like just because of what I said, right? Like, hey, dude, I'm no better than these people.
You want to cast judgment?
Yeah, I don't want to cast judgment.
Right.
So I walk up to the grocery store and there's this guy sitting out there in front, and he's got a little dog. It looks like a Shiba Inu, but it was like super tiny. I don't know what kind of dog it was. Anyways, so he just says hi to me. Hey, man. He didn't ask me for money. Didn't ask me for shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I love your tattoos, man. And I was like, thanks, dude. I was like, I appreciate that. And then he saw the fresh one that I got on my arm, and he goes, that one looks fresh. And he's like, I was like, yeah, dude, I just got it. And so he goes, I only got one. And he rips his little shirt down. He's got this chest piece. Long story short, he tells me about the chest piece. We talk about how that area sucks to get tattooed on. I told him, yeah, that was where I got my first tattoo. I got it from my grandfather who passed away. And he's like, no shit. Small world, man. This one's for my grandfather. And I was like, oh, no shit. He's like, yeah, it's the only tattoo I have. And I was like, oh, all right, man. Well, hey, I got to get in here. I got hungry kids. So I go in the store, and the spirit compels me. I buy him some water. And then, you know what? Another thing the spirit compels me, I just take out $10 because I have the money, and he didn't ask me for it initially. So I walk out there, I give him the water. He says, thank you. He's super grateful. He starts talking to me a little bit more. I give him the money. He's super grateful. And what I've been doing is I've been making these fucking rosaries, and I'm not preaching at the guy, but I was like, hey, dude, I made this super cool all black one. I was like, hey, dude, I want you to have this. And he's like, are you a Catholic? I was like, I am. And he's like, and he looks at me, he goes, I'm an atheist. And I was like, that's cool. And I was like, that's cool, man. I'm not preaching at you. I was like, I just want you to have it. You can throw it away if you want. I was like, I made it, and something's telling me I want you to have it. He's like, well, I actually really like this. I'm going to keep it. And I was like, I appreciate that, bro. He's like, you know, I would believe in God, but I'm gay, and I'm not allowed to be a Christian. And I was like, dude, I don't have time for this conversation. We ended up going back and forth, long story short. And I wished him the best of luck. I said, goodbye, Olaf. His name was Olaf. And he said, you have a good day, Cameron. And I walked away, and I said, dude, that guy didn't ask me for shit. All he wanted was for somebody to sit there and talk to him. Like, that's all he wanted. And then I sat there, and I really kind of like had this epiphany, like, dude, how lonely are these fucking people out here? You know what I mean? Like, everybody looks down on him, and nobody wants to give him shit. And he just wanted to fucking talk about how cool my tattoos looked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now that was a circumstantial event, but it was a really cool moment, dude. Like, and it helped me really solidify, like, hey, dude, these are people on hard times, but these are people nonetheless. I just wanted to share that story. Him being gay has nothing to do with anything. I thought it was really cool. He accepted the rosary, probably threw it away, but it was cool, man. It was a cool conversation.
Well, one of the things that's funny and the reason I was vibing with that story so much is 100% of the time, the reason I give homeless people money is when they don't ask for it.
Absolutely.
I don't know what it is about it, but it's like, oh, this dude's just having a rough time and he didn't, hey man, could you, and you know what I hate when they go, could I have $5? Like, whoa, buddy, we skipped change. We skipped a dollar and we just went to five. I might have given you five if you didn't ask for it, but don't just ask for $5.
Can I have your mortgage payment password, please? I know they change it every other day.
The Bank of Gold. It's a good point, and it's a good perspective, man. They are just people, and you don't know their circumstances. I mean, to be honest, it's damn shameful how many veterans are out there with, you know, that suffer from PTSD and everything else. And it's not that easy for all of us to just get along in the normal society.
Yeah. And dude, that was another thing he shared to me, right? I mentioned I was in recovery. He said he didn't have an addiction problem because he was afraid of becoming dependent on it. Reason he was homeless, dude, he has mental health issues. He's like borderline schizophrenic and has like bipolar disorder and just is out here on the streets unmedicated with nowhere to go. And so like, dude, it's not always what it seems, right? And that was another one of these moments that I had to see, that I had to sit and go, fuck, dude, I have been this judgmental piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes it's valid, I guess, but it warmed my heart, man. And I know some people could be like, yeah, Cameron, don't be a fucking dickhead to homeless people. But, you know, copped some
resentments. It's easy to get jaded, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When you see something so much, you're just like, dude, I'm just so sick of it. Oh. And it's just like, it was like, fuck, dude, like, can we just stop it?
That reminded me, I took a picture of a human turd on the sidewalk, and I meant to send it to you. It was for you to be like, hey, you're not the only one with a homeless problem. It was for sure a human turd just sitting on the sidewalk.
That's awesome.
But yeah, and the other problem is, you know, we try to fix these problems like homelessness or addiction with police and jail, and it needs to be social workers. Absolutely. And that's not a thing against the police. It's that police are not social workers, and that's not how we should be fixing this problem. But, you know, that's a whole nother.
I didn't learn anything in jail. You know what I mean? Like that sure as hell didn't stop me from drinking and committing crimes. When I was getting arrested. No. So what makes you think it's going to stop a person who has no home or nothing? They're just going to go back out. I mean, you're not solving the problem.
Then they get three hots and a cot.
Yeah, dude. They're
a lot of homeless
stoked.
People don't mind going to jail. Yeah. They get a bed and it's warm and they have food. It's not good food, but it's food.
That's true, dude. That's true. But yeah, I just wanted to share that, man. And I'm glad that you see where I was coming from there. I hope that made sense.
Yeah. Well, I've got a little segment. I think it's a very enticing question. I think we can, you know, there will be more of these, but okay. I think this is a very interesting question, and we'll see what you think. The question is, if you could remove a daily task, if you could take away a daily task that you wouldn't have to do anymore, but you would have no negative effects, what would it be? And let me give examples like showering. You wouldn't have to shower, but you'd always be clean. Brushing your teeth. You wouldn't have to brush your teeth, but you wouldn't have problems, cavities, bad breath. Pooping. You don't feel like pooping anymore, and so you don't have to poop, but nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Eating. You don't have to eat anymore. That's an interesting one to me.
Okay.
Well, but before I go on,
okay,
do you have an answer for this?
I cherish my shitting time, dude. I can't possibly get rid of that one. It's my escape from the kids. No adverse effects, and I wouldn't have to do it anymore, dude. I'm going to go. We're going to have to do more of these because now I'm sitting here thinking, but my first go-to would be I wouldn't have to go to work, bro. I don't have to clock in. No, it doesn't count. Doesn't count.
No.
Okay. So like an everyday task. Okay.
Like shaving.
Okay.
Doing your hair, getting your hair cut.
There we go. You know what, dude? That right there is where I'm going to go. I would love to not have to shave. I would love my facial hair to just grow perfectly how I want it and not have to shave. Because I hate shaving my neck. I hate shaving my neck. I have to do it every single day because I'm neurotic about my fucking neckline on my beard. And I have to do it. So yeah, shaving. Good one.
I thought of that one before, because for you specifically, like, didn't you have a, couldn't you grow a beard in like fucking eighth grade?
No, I mean, I had facial hair. Yeah. But
see,
yeah.
Me, I don't know. I got this Indian in me, this Native American. I can rock a fresh shave for like 2 days and basically look fresh shaven.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I imagine that's not your case.
That's not the case. No. I come from Italians, hairy Germans as well, and Irish. That's my deal. So yeah, I got hairs.
So one that's interesting to me is eating, and let me quantify it a little.
No way
more.
In hell, dude.
Listen, you could eat for pleasure, but you didn't have to eat all the time, 3 meals a day, because doesn't it feel like such a chore sometimes to have to feed yourself and decide what you want and find it, make it, buy it, go get it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I making this case? Am I building this case a little bit?
I see what you're saying, dude, because you know,
you could eat for fun. I'm not taking away eating, but you don't have to eat for sustenance. How about you
okay.
get where I'm at? You get where I'm
there
at
we
here?
Go. Yeah. So
it's interesting.
You stay full constantly, and if you decide you want a rare steak, you can eat it. Yeah, you can eat it. It's not going to infringe on your overall state of hungriness. Yeah. I like that. As long as that rule applies. Because, dude, food, I got to have food. But, yeah, dude, I do all the cooking here. So, yeah, having to figure out dinner, cooking, chopping, slicing, doing all that. If I could not do that, that would be pretty sick, actually, to be honest with you. But I would need my whole family to have the same thing, because there'd be no way.
Yeah, that's true. But I've got to say, we're at odds here, and I don't want to get too deep into this because I don't think our listeners want to hear us talk about it too much. But I think it would be pooping. I would be happy to not have to do that.
Oh, dude, you're tripping. You're tripping, dude.
No,
You don't enjoy just like shutting yourself away in the bathroom and looking at your phone and sorry, this is going to be super vulgar, but just, you know, taking a nice dump and just like unwinding, or like the morning shit in the morning, dude. Come on, man. You just had a cup of coffee. As long as it's not like,
I don't want to get into the reason why I don't like it.
You fucking
wrong. But all I'm saying is, when I got to get halfway through a fresh roll of toilet paper.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Any diarrhea shits. Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. You got a lot of protein going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
It's just inconvenient. I just don't want to do it. Like, okay. I'll sit in the bathroom, or I don't know. I would do without it. It's gross. I just don't want it.
Okay.
That'd be mine.
All right.
Get it out.
Well, dude,
I never have to poop again.
Okay. Well, so you pick the poop, not the food.
Yeah. I just think that the food one, I think that's interesting, because I think about a lot. I wish I could just eat when I felt like it and not like right now when it's inconvenient and I have stuff to do and I don't know what I want. And
force me.
I don't know about y'all, but us choosing, me and Kristen choosing what we want to eat, it's just like, what do you want? Because everything sucks and nothing sounds good. And it's like such a grind. I'm always hungry. I'm never super excited about stuff. And I always have to feed myself. And I'm talking about, this is 240 pounds a man here. I'm always hungry and I always have to feed myself and I never want anything. And it's just like a grind, dude.
Dude, I'm glad that that's a fucking
first world problem.
Yeah, dude. The good thing you got that stocked fridge. But dude, we deal with the same issues, man. I ask Ash, I say, hey, what do you want for dinner? And she literally just like, she just stares at me. I go, sweet, dude, that's awesome. Cause nothing ever sounds good. And then if I have some things in my repertoire and I try to bring it back, like I happen to be a big fan of stroganoff, right? Like that's an odd dish, right? But I love it, dude. I love the fucking egg noodles with a shit ton of black pepper on it. I mean, it's just tits. But Ash hates it. So whenever she gives me the silent treatment, I make stroganoff, dude. Yeah.
There you go.
Petty nation, dude. We're having those egg noodles, dude.
Ours is Thai food. I love Thai. When we order out. But Kristen's just like, nah, she could live without it. She'll eat it. She's never excited about it. But that's one of those for me. I'm like, I'd pretty much eat that anytime.
Oh, dude, give me a hot red curry, dude. Hot as hell. Thai food is fantastic. I
give
love
me a myself. Pad Thai or a drunken noodle or a chicken satay, basil chicken. Boy,
dude, that purple Thai basil, dude, just throw it in my face, dude. That's good stuff.
Just
yeah, I just want it all, dude. Now I want some Thai food. I haven't had Thai food in forever. That's fantastic.
Let's do Kreeran's quote, and then we'll hit him with the you know, the spiels and stuff.
Yeah, you got kids running up there today, dude. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you. You're a better person than me. I have my niece asking to do a sleepover here all the time. I'm like, yeah, we'll do it next weekend or the next week. I keep putting it off in forever because I'm a fucking asshole. Now I got to do better. Okay. Yeah, so
you
here,
suck.
Dude, I just, well, dude, we just got Graham literally sleeping through the night, bro. Like, oh, he's a
yeah,
year, he's I a forgot. Year old. Like,
yeah,
like we've
shit.
Been,
yeah.
we've been fighting for our lives around here.
No, I get that. So, I get that.
I don't need toddlers running around having fun.
Ooh, that makes me feel even worse about being up your ass. Some guy over here that forgot you have a newborn and laid your chihuahua to rest, pink eye, both eyes.
Yeah,
guy definitely. Having a rough time. Your partner's just being a fucking asshole. Just
absolutely eviscerating him for fucking.
Some guy who the number one most important thing in this world to him is sleep, and he probably hasn't slept more than 3 hours in a fucking month.
Some fucking guy who some fucking equally guy. Loves the podcast.
Some guy just realizing he's an asshole live on the air.
Some fucking this is recovery.
And that's recovery, people.
Yep, live and direct, dude. Some. I'm surprised we haven't busted out some yet, dude. I think this is the first time we've ever actually done that. It's awesome.
Some. Yeah. Some people have no idea why the fuck we're saying some so much.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Neither do we. It's just the thing.
Actually, to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you. So.
Me neither.
This week's Kreeran's quote, and I just said that properly because every time I say it, I kind of say it like Kreeran's quote. I noticed that. I've been hypercritical on myself about that.
Not quality control.
No. So here we go. When you get to a place where you understand that love and belonging, your worthiness is a birthright and not something you have to earn, anything is possible. Brené Brown.
I could tell it was her.
Basically stating that you deserve love, you belong everywhere, and you are worthy of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And anything is possible when you accept those virtues. That's the way I interpret it.
I don't even really need to elaborate, except to say, I guess, that we don't base our worth on what others feel about us or how others label us. That's what she's saying, I guess, is your worthiness comes from within. You are worthy. We can just tell you right now, I don't even know you, you're worthy. You're worthy of love. Everyone is. Everyone's worthy of love and acceptance. And if you know that, you know, that's the building block, the base of feeling good and having a good life, because, you know, you choose how, what you're going to accept and knowing that you're worthy. And if people treat you like you aren't, fuck those people and don't hang out with them.
Yep, and move your space. So what do we got for him this week, pal?
Move the space. Well, first of all, we're going to ask that you go ahead and follow us on Instagram. We're working on a lot of new content, and it will be coming soon. We're working on new video editing, so on and so forth. So follow us on Instagram.
Yes.
I also meant to say this a while ago, think about 2 weeks ago, but we have passed 6,000 total plays.
Thank you to everybody who's a part of that.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to say thank you. Pretty cool. And we also had our biggest day ever to date, where we had 100 plays on RSS, which is mostly Apple. Yeah, 100 plays. And did you pay attention to what we had on Spotify that day?
I didn't check.
I feel like it was like 18 or something.
Yeah. So like a roughly 120 play day.
And that's pretty cool. And that, I think that's what sparked me, having gratitude for everybody who listens, because we're getting some plays. And then the other thing that you've been mentioning is this voicemail function on Spotify. And I don't know what it is or where it is. So why don't you tell them about that?
Okay, so this is actually a really cool thing, and Hen can harumph me if you disagree, but I have this crazy vision with it. So if you scroll down at the end of each of the show notes, it says leave a voice message here. All you will need is a Spotify account to log in, and you can leave us a voice message up to 1 minute.
Do it.
Do it. And if you have one that is worth a shit, we might feature you on the show. We'd love to put you at the beginning of the show, somewhere in the middle. We can highlight you, ask us questions. It's a real easy way to do it, and it'll get you some airtime on Rude Dude. So do that, please.
Yeah, we'll get a segment like listener question or listener quote of the week, and we'll put your sexy ass voice on the show.
And who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want that? And I had something else, which I already forgot. Dude, you guys want to hear the wildest thing that has ever happened to anyone ever? So the other day, I swear on my life, on my daughters.
On Grandpa Gilbert?
On Grandpa Gilbert. I go, I'm so excited. And before I finished saying excited, this is on my daughters, I couldn't remember what I was saying that I was excited about.
Oh, dude.
Mid-sentence, I go, babe, I swear to God, I forget why I'm saying that.
Oh, dude.
And I don't even remember. I didn't ever remember. I just forgot. I was excited about something. I don't know what it was. I said it aloud. And before I finished uttering my utterance, it was gone.
Dude, the progression of my memory fading away is getting progressively worse. And it's happening at an alarming rate, dude. The other day, I literally walked into my kitchen. I had the thought 5 seconds before I walked in there, and I stood there like the John Travolta meme from Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why am I in this room?
And then I did
some other things too. It happened to me all the time, dude, where I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I am completely losing my fucking mind. I have told Ash, like, you might as well start saving up for the dementia treatment facility, because I'm going there without a doubt. Like, oh, it's happening for sure. I'm not going to know who you are, the kids are, anybody. I just know that I love you forever. just remember me how you see me now, because it's not going to be pretty in the future.
Oh, so here's what it is, and I'm going to say it before I forget again. Our poll on Spotify, I don't know if we can do one on Apple. What everyday thing would you get rid of, be that brushing teeth, showering, pooping, eating? So I'm going to put that in the poll. We'd like for you guys to answer. And if you have cool, funny answers, whatever, we'll talk about them on the next episode.
Hell yeah. Well, this has been a fun episode. And you know what? It was cool. It was raw. It had some really good laughs in it. I think this was fantastic. And is there anything else before we close this out?
I'm glad we had that conversation. And then I'm glad we decided to air it out on the show, because I think that's what we're all about, man.
Yeah, man, it was showing us how it's done, or at least how we handle it. So if you saw or heard something about how we handled our resentment issue, take it with you. Try it. You know what I mean? Use it and make it your own.
The last point is, everything's not sunshine and rainbows, you know, and that's an important thing for recovery, to think, oh, you get clean and everything's great and nothing bad ever happens. No, fuck no. That's absolutely wrong. The bad shit still happens. So if you think me and Cameron just text each other about how much we love each other all the time, we don't. I mean, honestly, we mostly do. But like, yeah, we have bad spots too, like everyone else in every other relationship. And that's okay. You can work through it. It's not the bad things that happen. It's how you maneuver through them.
I mean, couldn't have said it better myself, man. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thanks again to all our listeners. And I will finish it like I always do. I love you, Hen. Have fun with the kiddos up there, pal. That sounds like a nightmare.
I might watch the NBA playoffs in my man cave and forget about them.
Kreeran totally supports that.
And remember, children, be yourself and fuck what they think.
I love you, nipple. Later, dude. Bang! I check